I'm Paul Nakamura. I'm the pastor of Lutheran Oriental Church in Torrance. We've been there since 1975. We started the church from scratch. And we now have about 90 members, baptized members. You know what baptized members are? I include children and people who don't come. But make the role look good, you know. And I have about little over 20 families. And our budget is about a little over 60,000. And this October we will be financially independent from the big house. So we seem to be holding together. And then I was born in Hawaii. Then you should know that, because that some words might come out you may not understand, and you're wondering if that's what part of Scandinavia it is. But it is. And my parishioners say, "You sure have a lot of pigeon." Say, "Well, that's the way it goes, you know. A lot of pigeon English." But I try to keep it Midwestern so you'll understand most of it. Now, the topic for today is Asians in general. Who are the Asians? And out of that, we'll begin also toward the second half, the Japanese Americans, because the rest of the week will be on Japanese Americans, the Japanese American experience in this country. The reason is that their experience has so much to do with all of us, because it involves the Constitution. And the Constitution we will take up on Thursday. All right? Wednesday. Tomorrow we rest. They gave me a blank day tomorrow. So tomorrow, on Wednesday, we'll go into the relocation camps or the concentration camps, and also the impact somewhere between there, the impact of the camps on the community. And this will lead us into the constitutional question on Thursday. Then on Friday will be the role of the church in the movement of the redress and reparation. So that comes in the redress reparation will come with a camp experience. And we'll have a film on that better wait and see, look at my schedule so that I won't give you false information, but it'll come in there someplace. Just to give you a general overview of what it is. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you have Asian friends? Oh, that's a lot. Almost everybody, if not everybody. How many of you know where they come from? All right, where do they come from?
China.
Korea.
China and Japan.
China. Oh, well, tell me where you live first. What city?
Tacoma.
Vancouver, BC.
Oh, okay, Vancouver, British Columbia. Yes. Okay. You too? Okay, and then somebody here? Where?
Livermore, California.
You have who?
China.
Chinese. All right. And then?
Japanese Americans and people from Hong Kong, and then I lived in Japan for some time.
Okay, but over here in Livermore?
In Seattle.
Oh, in Seattle, okay. And then?
San Luis Obispo, Vietnamese.
Vietnamese, okay.
Okay,
you got everybody there. Okay.
And in
Medford, we have Koreans, Cambodians, and Chinese. I don't know any Japanese.
Okay. This is in Oregon.
In Oregon. Medford, okay. Oregon.
All right.
New York.
New York. Okay. Now, can you tell them apart? Can you tell a Chinese from a Japanese?
By their names.
No, we're just looking.
No.
Yes. Yes. If you can, you're better than us. Okay, not always. Sometimes you can, all right? But you can tell as soon as they start talking. If you know the difference in languages. Right? Now, like last night, if we didn't put Korean, the names, you know, Jesus loves me, if we didn't put in parentheses either Japanese or Korean, would you have known the difference?
No.
You wouldn't have known the difference, right?
I would have known the Japanese, but not the Korean.
Okay, because you've had that exposure. Okay. But then, so the thing now is, it's important for us to know that there, when you see one, you haven't seen everyone. All right? It's important for us to know that. When I went to Gustavus, I couldn't tell the difference between one Scandinavian from another. Really? It was one blank wall. You know? I had... Okay. We had a room. How small was it? I can't tell you how big because it was small to begin with. We had a room about just enough to walk in, and we had four people in there. You know, this was a hard time right after the war. The buildings weren't built yet. But it was fun. Three Scandinavians and me. You know? And one was a redhead, must have been about 12 feet tall. So he and I got to be good friends. We always walk to the cafeteria. You can see that, right? But it was nice. But I couldn't tell the difference. But after a while, as I got acquainted with them, got to know their names, then you know the difference as who they are. But you still don't know whether they're what part of, you know, what Scandinavians they are. Whether they're Swedes or Norwegians or Danes or whatever there is in between. So, but the thing is, then, it takes time to know. And it's important that we get to know the difference and not blank everybody out. You see? Now, we counted Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, and then what else?
Koreans.
Four, right? Well, I didn't hear Filipino mentioned until just now. Filipino, Laotians, Cambodians, Taiwanese. Okay, now let's see what we got here and how many there are. Okay. Now, well, this will tell you, well, this is the wrong one. What I wanted to show, well, this tells us where they are. That's okay, too. Okay. Well, let's go this way first. Oh, yeah. Breakdown for Asian Pacifics, all right? I wanted to show the different types, and these are only 11. I've only put down 11 of the most. There are some more down there. Different groups of people. The Chinese, Filipino, the Japanese, the Asian Indians, Koreans, Vietnamese, Hawaiians, Samoan, Guamanian, and, you know, the word others, a catch-all for many other things, other people. And this is only to show you the varieties of ethnic people that comes under the word Asians. And today we include Asians in Pacific Americans or Pacific ancestry, which include the Samoans, the Hawaiians, the Guamanians, the Tongas, and a host of others. So please do not get the idea that if you've seen one, you've seen them all, because you haven't. All right? And the problem with seeing one and seeing all is, well, what is the problem? Why is that dangerous?
Stereotypes.
Stereotypes.
You assume they all have the same, come from the same background, have the same cultures.
All right. And which isn't true. All right. Even within the Chinese group, there are many different groupings, you see. So we have to be very careful. But it can also lead to very dangerous actions. Like the Vincent Chin case. You know the Vincent Chin case? How many of you heard of the Vincent Chin case? Okay. The Vincent Chin case, you know, Japan, and this was in Detroit. Japanese cars were selling, Detroit cars were not selling. A worker in Detroit, one of the workers in Detroit, was very angry. I guess he became unemployed or something. They went to a bar. It happened that Vincent Chin was there. Now, is Vincent Chin a Chinese, Korean, Japanese, or Guamanian, what?
Chinese.
All right, he was Chinese. And this was some kind of party before he getting married, I think, wasn't it? Get together before he was to get married. And he was with a friend, and this man came in, he was angry, and he mistook Vincent Chin to be a Japanese. Because to him, you've seen one, you've seen them all. You see? And they got into an argument. He went to his car with him and his father. They brought a bat and they killed him. They chased him all over the place and killed him. You see? So it's very dangerous to live with stereotypes and to live in ignorance. This is simply to make you aware that you haven't seen them all. Now, where do they live? Okay. Here. Anybody live in these places? I think so. Largest Asian Pacific population centers in 1980, in thousands, all right? Honolulu, 763,000 total Asians. And the percentage is 60.7 of the population are Asians. So remember, Asians include all the ones that we talked about on earlier. Los Angeles, Long Beach, there you see 6.1, San Francisco, Oakland, and New York, Chicago, San Jose, San Diego, what's that? Anaheim. Anaheim, Santa Ana, that's Orange County, Washington, D.C., Seattle. You ever thought you'd have so many in Houston? Of all places, Texas? You know? And so this gives you an idea of where the concentration are. Now, if you look carefully, what kind of places are these? All right?
Cities.
Along the coast. Especially on, if you look at it, most of them, the real concentrations are on what coast? The West Coast. All right? We are the port of entry, including Vancouver. I don't want to neglect you, but the book I got this out of didn't include Vancouver. All right? So there we see, and Vancouver is also the way in which people come from overseas down to the States. It's a port of entry to the United States. All right? And this influx of people has not ended. It is still happening. It will continue to happen. This is what you call the Pacific Basin, right? The Pacific Basin. And the Pacific Basin, for our country, nationally speaking, as you know more than I do, on this, you people who are in business, economics, is the center, the focal of business for several reasons. What are those reasons? Yeah, what are those reasons?
You good business, man.
Okay, why? Why not Europe? Why not the Middle East?
Stability.
One, economic stability, political stability.
Yep. Very few restrictions.
Okay, that part you know more than I do. Very few restrictions, and then?
Transportation. Everything comes this way.
Transportation is?
Labor supply.
Labor supply. That's it, right? Labor supply. Labor supply, political stability, economic stability, potential of growth because of population. And one reason why China has become so very important is because of population. Right? Coca-Cola went in and really wanted to clean up. Okay. So those are the reasons, whereas in Europe, things are not very stable. And labor is not so easily available, cheap. In fact, Europe itself is trying to get labor from the other countries. So, this is the place. Now, let's go into the next thing.
Transportation,
that's right. And now, we hear a lot about the Asians. Let's show this one first. The average years of schooling, all right? Now, this is in two parts, the native born and the overseas born. Oh, wow. Let's see how it goes. 25 to 64. Okay, non-Hispanic whites, all right, will be 12.86 years, the average schooling. Watch this wire. Okay. Okay. Chinese, these are native born, all right? It's important to note that. Chinese at 14.90, Filipino 12.40, Korean 13.82, Japanese 13.73, Asian Indian 13.42, Vietnamese 12.34. What's that tell us? Well, let's look at those are native born and the foreign born. Let's look at the foreign born.
Does Cambodian fit under
any of the? Yeah, they will come underneath there someplace. It wasn't in the book, I think, yeah. Asian Indians would be East Indians, right? From India.
Oh, okay.
From India. India Indians, right? Then you have the foreign-born non-Hispanic whites, 12.77. Asian Indians, 16.65. Japanese, 14.99. Korean, 14.93. Filipino, 13.96. Chinese, 13.58. Vietnamese, 12.14. Now, what does this tell us about this, the educational background?
You better hurry up, because I can't. Education is important.
Also,
comparatively highly educated.
Highly educated.
Compared to the whites.
Well, the whites are.
Most of them.
Okay.
Are
fine. Okay.
It's like in Ohio. We have a whole bunch of Japanese. Every one of them are executives in an auto plant.
Okay.
There's nobody below.
Okay.
Very motivated.
Very motivated. Okay. Look at the foreign born. Let's look at the foreign born. All right. Look at the Asian Indians.
These are foreign born that then come to the United States.
That's right. I wonder, in many of our, where do you see Asian Indians? Many of them.
Medical fields,
doctors.
Oncology.
Oncology, okay.
Research.
So the people who come over here from overseas, are what? The upper echelon people.
Professional
people. With them, of course, these are average, all right? Average means everyone combined, and you mix them up, and then you add things up, and what's the average? So that means you have some on the lower part, some on the higher part. So the ones in the hospitals are still higher, on the higher part. All right? I'm sure they got more than 16 years.
Yes.
You know, to become an oncologist. So, but yet, on the average, it's very high. So it is with the Japanese and the Koreans, because that's 14.99 would be almost what, 3 years of college. Or 2 years of college, is it? Almost 3 years, right? And so with the Koreans. Now the Vietnamese are on the lower end, but still high school. Now you've got to remember the situation in which they come from. Many of these people, the Japanese and the Koreans, especially the Asian Indian, Japanese, Koreans, on what conditions are they coming to this country? No, not the Asian Indians, not the Japanese, not the Koreans.
They come for higher education.
They come for higher education and for economic reasons. They already have, like you say, in Ohio, they're executives. They're not forced out of the country. Whereas many of the Chinese and the Vietnamese, Filipinos, how did they come over? Refugees, boat people, right? They've had political disruption in the country.
In some European countries, at least I've been told this by people, when they get to about the ninth grade, they take a test, either academic or industrial. Could that be a contributing reason why the Hispanic non-white or non-Hispanic white is as low as it is from Europe?
I have no idea because I didn't take the book didn't show that. But I would count that myself if I was counting.
As education.
Sure, it's education.
Okay.
I would count it as, you know. But that I don't know how they counted. All right? Now compare this with the one on the top. All right? The Chinese has 14.9 and the Filipino in this country has what? 12.4. Koreans have what the Koreans? You see the overseas born have a little bit higher, all right? Except the Chinese, all right? But which also means, even in this country, the Asians are really working hard. Yes? I don't think this is only for men. Is that what he says? Oh, I didn't see that part. Isn't there something? Oh yeah, men. Okay. Men. Okay? Well, I don't know. But company people, they come with, some of them come with wives to families, you know. Oh, what happened?
Light burned out.
They will do that to us, won't they? They must be anti-Asian. But what do these figures tell us? That one, that the Asians coming to this country from overseas are highly intelligent. And even though they may be doing menial work, all right? They may be doing menial work. It doesn't mean they're not educated. All right? It doesn't mean they're not educated. Like I went to a gas station, fill up gas. And the man at the cashier was an Indian, an East Indian. And there was an argument between the customer. And the customer, on the cash register, and the customer before he left, he said, "Won't you get an education?" The Indian said, "I have an education." He probably has more education than the customer. You see? But the thing is this. This tells us that we cannot look down on anyone, not because they have education or no education, but since education is such a high priority, we put so much on it. Let us always think that, let us respect other people, even though we do not know their background. It's very important, all right? And economically, this shows, well, we haven't come to that economically. That was the next one. I told you the anti-Asian. This thing is. Okay. Economically, we have to consider certain things too. I wish we'll come to that later. Let's just talk about the educational part then. The children study hard. Why do they study hard? Why are the parents so insistent that the children study so hard?
For one thing, it's a tradition with them.
Tradition. Well, let's go over to Japan, all right? Let's talk about Japan for a while. Japan has one of the highest, if not the highest, educational standard. And he's going to make it not anti. Why is Japan so insistent upon education? Have you ever thought of that? You know, it's almost to the point of being fanatic. You know, the kids come home from school. You know what they do after that?
They go to another school.
They go to a tutor. And they don't come home till late at night. And they come home late at night and they study some more. Now, when the shosha people, we call them, company people are called shosha, okay? Shosha people come here with the children. The children stay here for a few years, and when they go back, you know, they're way behind. So to overcome that, they've established schools over here. The schools in Japan have branches over here, just like American schools have been put in overseas for American children. So they've done the same thing. So that when the children go back to Japan, they won't be too far behind. Because the parents hesitate to come to this country to bring the children if that's what's going to happen to their children.
So sorry, wrong bulb.
That's a
problem. Oh.
It's okay. Oh, no, that's not okay. Okay? But why is it so important for Japan to be that way? And that will give us an idea of why it's over here too. So what we see out here, the Nissans and the Toyotas and all the things, the TVs, the Sonys and whatnot, we're buying brains. Wait till you see the new one. So the thing is this, okay? That's the survival. That's why people is the only real resource they have, natural resource.
I suspect the leadership in the country also places a high priority on education.
Well, they have to. See, it goes back to the Meiji era. After Perry went there and opened the doors, right?
Right.
He opened the doors, and the Japan saw what they had, cannons and all those kind of stuff, and all they had was little swords and ninja people. That's not going to do the work, all right? So the Emperor Meiji was far-sighted enough that he sent people all over the world, especially at that time to Germany and to England. Because Germany and England, they were the countries that had the knowledge, medicine, technology. So the railroad in Japan is a narrow gauge railroad. After who? What country has narrow gauge? England. Right? I get Germany too? England is wide. After England was narrow. Well, anyway. Okay. So, but that's where they got it from. They imported many things. Fashion. Oh. Fashion, I tell you. These Japanese ladies, they're fashion conscious. Tremendous. You know. And even just to go to a picnic, they dress up. They import many things. So the thing is, but education has become so very important. So when our parents came over to this country as immigrants, laborers, contract laborers, they brought that idea with them too. And being a minority, as you said, you have to be twice as good to be not even high as they are, just to get into the door. But there's a price to pay for it. There's a price to pay for it. But the price may be what they have to pay in order to be surviving. You see? If that's the price, then that's the way you got to go. Because many people, many of the Japanese students coming to this country, there's a high rate of failure in the universities, from what I understand, because of the language, you know, culture shock and all. There's a very high rate of higher education failures, you say. But we don't hear those statistics. We only hear the success stories. And so what I'm trying to say is this, that we need to understand that the pressure put upon the minority students and the Asian students, especially we're talking about, are tremendous. And we need to understand that and try to have more compassion on that.
An old Chinese gentleman years ago, when I was young, he told me that in their culture or in their ideas of things, that the young people are supposed to work hard, study hard, and then when they're old, then they're supposed to enjoy life and play and so on.
Well, it's not too much different from what I understand our college students nowadays. And this is from from a professor, religion professor, said that the students that he has in his college is that in this university, Cal Lutheran. Now the students there, all they want is education. The purpose of the education is to get a good job so they can make money, retire early, and take life easy. And they're going to be fooled after that. No, really. It's an illusion.
It is. But
they're going to be homeless. They're going to be counted among the homeless if they're not careful. So the thing is this, all right, as we see, we want to understand. This hasn't been fixed, has it?
No.
No, okay. So we need to understand the pressure put upon the young people and upon the people in general, you see, that it is a very tough road they have. And our prejudice oftentimes comes out when we see in the newspaper, look at those Asians. They're taking the high prize again. But what we don't see are the many others and who don't make it. And the ones who make it, the price they had to pay. You see? So let's be more intelligent in our outlook of these things.
I work with a Korean woman who her family came to the United States probably when she was 25 or so. And she majored in German before she came to the United States, so she had a second language when she got here. And she's learned English, and she's working on her master's in special education. And she talks about how she really doesn't feel like she fits in here, partially because of the language barrier, although her English is very good. She still is sort of hard to understand because of her accent. But how she doesn't feel like she can go back to Korea either. She is probably 32 or 33, and she says, you know, in my country, I would be considered a failure because I'm not married and I don't have children. And even her mother, who is here, her whole family is here, her mother still feels like she's a failure. Although, when we look at her, we think, look at all the wonderful things she's done. She's given up a lot, and she has all this talent, but she's not really sure where to use it now. So, there's a real, even though she's achieved a lot, there's also a real sadness of the things that she's lost. The price that she's paid, price is the trade-off.
Now, let's digress a little bit. This wasn't in the planning, but since we've come this far on this, what can we do as a church? Let's take a few minutes for these young people. After all this information we've put into culture shock, language, the big problem, language, everyone has that problem, right? Adults and children, young people, identity problems. You know, I just had a Bible school. We conduct the Bible school, this year was 4 weeks. Last year was 6 weeks. We had young people to handle. This year I was handling it, so I made it 4 weeks. From 10 to 2, 4 hours each day. It's a small group. Half of them, of the children, were Korean children from another church. They've been sending theirs to our church for all the year, for about three, four years. Now, in listening to them too, one day they were just talking among themselves. I heard them say about identity. One say, "Well, we're Koreans," and one girl say, "No, I'm American." She was born in Korea. She knows Korean. Now, what do you see in that? What do you see in that? When she said, "I'm American." "No, I'm not Korean, I'm American." What do you see in that?
Denial.
And then what? Denial of what?
Reality.
Reality of roots. Right?
I don't either.
Okay, what do you see? Okay, good. Let's pursue.
All of us have come from some other country originally.
Okay.
I don't
right.
tell people I'm Scottish. I say I'm American.
Okay,
no.
Fine.
Except I come from Austria, but I mean, one isn't so easily identified. If I say I'm an American, they wouldn't say we're an Austrian girl. But if a Japanese says I'm an American, then always still would be called a Japanese.
Okay.
Well, that's because the things
yeah.
that identify you as race. Okay, I am considered African American. I'm identifiable visually.
Uh-huh.
That makes the difference. Many of your other the people from the European countries, you're not highly identifiable as to what country you have originally come from. There's where the difference comes in with the minority people.
All right. What else? What else do we see? Is there a confusion in identity when there's a denial? Why would we want to deny our identity, our roots?
Well, what did this girl say about that?
No, she didn't go any further.
American, but what did
she didn't go any further.
Oh.
But by those, who do we mean when you say, but accepted by who? These are all Korean children. Okay, but why wouldn't she be accepted as a Korean in America?
She's struggling with that. I think
simply
she
as a
feels that she's not all the way accepted and she wants to be.
Is she wanted to be white? Is this what it is?
There could be some of that.
Because I know there are quite a few Asian girls who have surgery on what?
Their eyes.
Why? They want round eyes rather than what?
Rather than slanted.
But is it really slanted?
No.
But that has been imposed upon them. And they feel that their eyes are slanted. But if it is slanted, so what? Big deal. The eyes do only one thing, look out. Right? So they go about making facial changes to become what?
Beautiful.
White. Why beautiful? Is round more beautiful than slant? To be like whites. I know one girl. She wears blue eyes. Can you imagine an Oriental girl with a blue eyes? I mean, it's nothing wrong with having blue eyes.
Does she have blonde hair too?
Hasn't gone that far yet. But the thing is simply that trying to be other than what you really are, that is a dangerous thing. Because in time, you will have a tremendous conflict within you. The Danes went through it, the Swedes went through it, the Norwegians went through it, the Germans went through it, everybody goes through it. And we forget that we all had that, and we impose this on others.
Well, part of my history is I come out of a German family.
Okay.
As long as I remember, my dad was screaming at me, I would not take German in school. He said, you will learn English. I don't care what the rest of the family taught. You're going to learn English. And when my mother wanted to teach me Norwegian, holy mackerel, the whole roof came off.
Aren't you sorry you don't know Norwegian?
Huh?
Aren't you sorry you don't know Norwegian?
I'm sorry I don't know either one of the languages. And Polish was the same way. I could have learned Polish when I was growing
okay.
up. And I come home and say, hey, so-and-so wants to teach me Polish. You will learn English. And I never did get English straight. I'm not the only one in this country.
Welcome to the club.
You yeah. spent 12 years studying your own language, and when you're young, you say, what? The teachers are still hollering that you don't spell right or something.
Yeah.
But as far as communication, we're all right. But I think, as I recall my growing up in the 30s and the 40s in Chicago, there were an awful lot of us in that city who were going through this of staying in our own ethnic area for protection.
Okay.
And if we went out,
There were all kind of barriers between, you didn't, they got into dating and everything else, because the good Norwegians didn't want them dating a Polish girl, and the Germans didn't want them dating a Dane girl, and on we went with all this foolishness until everybody moved to the suburbs. History's forgotten in Chicago. The suburbs are a grand mix.
Sure, because
but the city still holds on.
Because in the suburb, you're more concerned that your house be paid. You can be worrying about some other things. All right, any question now? Okay, so, but the point, what can we do as a church? That's important for us to understand. Not only for us to understand as individuals, to be accepting of others, but now what can we do as a church?
What's your answer?
No, wait, I want your answer first. You're trying to cop out on me.
A number of churches host congregation, Asian congregations that meet in the church building at other times,
okay,
or even at the same time.
Okay.
Are you talking about little things or big things?
What? In anything. Individually sometimes, or even as a church.
Well, I sure would like to see some big things done. But I don't know.
What do you mean by big things? What are big things?
Well, total understanding.
Well, how do we get understanding?
I don't know. I mean, those are almost impossible goals sometimes, you know, for my little mind to comprehend.
Okay.
But
you had your hand up.
By post-exchange students, I know in a lot of the areas during the summer, exchange students come over in groups or touring groups.
You mean from overseas?
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm vacation here, or okay, here for, say, 4 weeks of study.
What about the people who live in a neighborhood? That's what I'm concerned about. Now, somebody had over here? If you're going to a new neighborhood, no matter where you are, right? If you're going to a new neighborhood, what do you look for?
Friendliness.
That's it, right? A friend. And the one who comes to you first, the one who comes to you first and comes to you as a friend, whichever way, just to come and knock on the door and say, how are you? Welcome to our neighborhood. I'm so and so. You know, if I can help you, I'll be glad to help you. And you tell them where the post office is, right? And where the grocery store is, what grocery store is better than the other, right? Doesn't that establish friendship, relationship? Is that hard? Is that threatening? No.
But you said as a church.
Well, as a church too, but also, but even the church can do that, right?
Oh, yeah. We have a Christian outreach program.
All right. And this, okay.
You struck something. I was going to a Lutheran church in Hong Kong, a Chinese church. And when they preached in Chinese, one of the parishioners would sit next to me and translate the sermon for me. Now, if you ever felt welcome in a place, wow.
That's right. When you see somebody come into your church, what do?
Go up to them.
They won't talk to them. They're going to enjoy it.
Okay, but the thing is, show them the book.
But now, we live in a small town in Minnesota that doesn't, I'm not aware of any, well, there are some Vietnamese, I think, but I don't think most of them would go to a Lutheran church.
That's a myth. It's a myth to say that people won't come. They may not join, but they would like to know you. All right? The thing is, if you don't go, they're not going to come. If you don't go, they won't come. You have to go because you are the one in power. You're the native.
I think that's it. The difficulty that I see often is, especially with families, is that the men oftentimes know, if they've come from overseas, know English and are working. And they make contacts, in the workforce. But the women, You know, and the children oftentimes will go to school and they interact and they learn English and interact with other children. But the women especially, you know, may not know as much English, may understand it but not be able to communicate as well. And I feel like they're the ones who are, you know, much more isolated.
So what do you think should be done for the women? They're home during the day.
I mean, I think there are things you can do, like you said, like take them to the grocery store.
Well,
you know, bring them to, you know, women's things like that.
Like someone said, right? What, something like this, that if you give the person whatever it was, a food or not, it's good for one day. But if you teach them how to fish or farm, then they'll feed themselves for the rest of their lives. So, taking that idea, if these women cannot speak English, what should we do? Teach them English. English as second language. And they would love to do that, I would, if they can trust you. If you're not there just to proselyte. If you're going with the idea of proselytizing, forget it. But if you're going with the idea that you're going to be their friend, welcome to the community, it's something else. All right? Go as a friend. Many Japanese ladies now, you know what they like to learn? Western style cooking. Yeah. English is a second language, Western style cooking. You can combine that too. If your women's group is on a ball, you could do that.
You can learn a great deal.
You know? Now, one more thing before we close here. Words, names, nicknames that we put on people are not good. We don't use names like chinks, we don't use names like Japs. You use the name Japs to a Japanese, I tell you, he may be a ninja. All right? Learn the terminologies. Learn the terminologies. Now there is a book that I forgot to show you. This is the last thing. Where's my lunch bag? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Somebody say, is this my lunch bag?
There's a little book that I want you to be familiar with, and maybe you can order. I have it very much available here. Asian Pacific American, right? It's a new book. It just came out recently, as I understand it. And then it's a short book. It's a booklet full of information. I was going to use some of this today, or next time I'll use more. This information came from this book. It tells you about positive images, realistic images that we see on TV, lots of TV. Images are stereotypes. They reinforce stereotypes. And this will tell you, like Jerry Lewis playing Hardly Working, he portrays a Japanese chap with buck teeth and off teeth. You know, that's terrible. I like Jerry Lewis, but I don't like him for that. And Fu Manchu, you know, long fingernails, long beard. And that's bad. So let's be careful about those things. And then it has the one we saw. It has a glossary back here, direct and directory of places you can of services, resource directory, and brief information. It's put out by the National Conference of Christians and Jews. And if you have a in a big city, usually they have a place like that. You can write to them, and I'll put one address on before we leave this week. And from Los Angeles, that you can get. All right, and they asked for $5 donation, which is cheap for book with this much information in it.
Okay,
let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this brief moment together. Continue to expand our minds and we may see the gift of people which you place in our midst. Strengthen us, O Lord, and empty us of our old selves. Fill us with your new spirit of understanding, kindness, and of, O Lord, of outreaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.